The major news outlets weren't the first to call the election for Donald Trump. It wasn't even a polling group or a political organization. Instead, it was Polymarket that beat everyone to the punch, confirming the results hours before it hit the news. It's not the only reason they've been in the headlines. In the wake of the election, the FBI raided the home of Polymarket's CEO, Shane Copeland, and confiscated his phone, although he wasn't actually arrested. So who got the spooks so spooked? Polymarket is a relatively new company that offers people a different way to gamble. Users can buy shares on the outcomes of real-world events, with the odds depending on what people are willing to pay for either result. It's in practice a completely deregulated system, using USDT. And Polymarket's about page is keen to tell you that there is no house, and they don't actually take a cut of the wages or have any stake in the outcome. They've also said that the raid was nothing more than political punishment from the outgoing administration. But the whole site does seem to exist in a legal grey area. Polymarket's detractors have accused it of being just another shady crypto experiment designed to take people's money, while the company itself and their supporters see it as a less exploitative improvement on gambling, and the future of an industry that's always going to exist. But before we can ask these questions and dive deeper into Polymarket, we need to take a step back and consider the context of all of this happening in. These days, gambling is everywhere, and it's had a massive effect on culture, most notably in the world of sports. Until recently, though, there were lots of barriers for entry to betting on sports. To do it legally, you generally needed to go into an actual brick-and-mortar store. There are ID checks and other barriers to entry, so compared to today, it did take a lot more time to start wagering. Gambling was present on TV as well, but there were still restrictions that kept gambling participation rates pretty steady over time. But today, it's a completely different story, and now people are gambling on every single thing in society, from which movies hit in the box office, to which presidents come into power, all the way to which wars are won. In 2018, the US Supreme Court reversed a federal ban on sports betting, leaving it up to the states to decide, and most have chosen to legalize it, which also coincided with the rise of mobile gambling apps. And since 2018, there's also been a massive rise in the amount of people with gambling addiction problems. Both surveys and charities running gambling addiction hotlines have confirmed it. A research paper by Stephen Shapiro from the University of South Carolina showed that sports and betting have an almost symbiotic relationship. A rise in popularity of one leads to more attention for the other and vice versa. Over time, the two industries have become completely enmeshed. We've seen similar results in the UK, where regulation has been lax for years. Now nearly every football team in the UK has a betting company logo on their jersey. Gambling ads now almost run non-stop during sports programming in the US. American football and its frequent pauses have even let them sneak in between individual plays. And this video isn't to say that gambling as a whole is a terrible thing, but it's the positive association with gambling that could be slightly concerning. And we're not just talking about sports. We're talking about kid gamblers, and the promotion of gambling on anything and everything for teens. In a 2014 report, the UK Gambling Commission noted a massive rise in problems with gambling among 11 to 17 year olds. The amount of kids who would qualify as having problems with gambling more than doubled from 0.7% to 1.5%, and that's only in the space of a single year. These are children who have been having problems with hard gambling, but a different kind of softer gambling has been promoted to children for years through predatory practices that have become common in video games. As games have evolved, companies realized they could make far more money through a so-called freemium model. The basic gameplay is usually free, with added content, cosmetics, or even in-game advantages costing extra. The real money comes in from game purchases and microtransactions. Over time, they found out that the best way to make the most money with the system was to create an in-game casino system. They started as a way for players with less time on their hands to access items they could otherwise grind for. However, this wasn't enough for some companies, so they turned to the one business proficient at ensuring its customers return: casinos. And things started to spiral out of control when companies saw how much players spent on loot boxes. Games like Call of Duty would start introducing loot boxes to award players with cosmetic items, nothing that would ever enhance the gameplay or even give you any money back. Players loved changing the appearance of their main character to suit themselves better and add their own identity to the character. Finding new items became a fun little gimmick that came with leveling up. Loot boxes triggered feelings similar to what one might experience while gambling. The anticipation that comes with the mystery of what's in the box, the excitement that followed finding an item that you've been looking for a while, or the disappointment that settles in when you realize you weren't so lucky this time around. Loot boxes used to be discoverable in-game, or granted to you for free upon login. These days, multiple games require spending real money to get them. And we're talking about major gaming companies where you've already paid to access the game itself. And not only does this incentivize, especially children, to spend ridiculous amounts of money on digital items, but they're also paying far more because of the gambling mechanics, all without their parents' knowledge. You see, loot boxes operate on a system of rarity. They're designed to be as similar to slot machines as possible. And while it makes major gaming publishers tons of money, it also prepares them for a lifetime of gambling. And all of this has fueled a new renaissance for gambling, which brings us straight back to Polymarket. If you're still fumbling around with a bulky, outdated wallet, let me introduce you to Extra, the creators of the world's smartest wallets. These aren't your ordinary wallets. They're slim, sleek, and packed with features that'll make your life so much easier. You see, Extra wallets are super slim, holding over 12 cards in cash while staying half the size of traditional wallets. Their signature trigger mechanism lets you access your cards with just the push of a button. It's simple, fast, and so satisfying. And if you're worried about security, Extra has you covered with the RFID blocking, so that your data stays safe from wireless skimming and theft. Plus, they're also made with sustainable materials like vegan Italian leather and space-grade aluminum. And one of their game changers is the final card. This solar powered tracker ensures you never lose your wallet again. 2 hours of sunlight gives you 3 months of charge. And with the two-way ringing feature, you can find your wallet or even your phone in seconds. Plus, you'll get separation alerts and access to a worldwide lost and found network, so that you're always connected to your essentials. Right now, Extra is running the biggest sale of the year, up to 55% off with the code MOON from December 9th to December 25th. So if you're looking for a perfect gift or an upgrade for yourself, this is your chance. Just use the link in the description below, partner.extra/moon, and use the code MOON to take advantage of this amazing deal. Trust me, once you try Extra, you'll never want to go back to your old wallet. They've been one of the leading horses in a race to monetize a new way of gambling, a peer-to-peer marketplace for betting on the outcomes of real-world events. The site mixes crypto, gambling, and the stock market all into one. In normal gambling, people place wagers on an outcome. In roulette, for example, if you place a bet on black and the ball lands on one of the black numbers, then you win. Polymarket and other sites like it are a little different. Instead, it's like you can buy shares for each outcome. So you could either buy shares that the ball will land on black or that it won't land on black. The amount you can win is decided by what other people are willing to pay. If most users think there's a 55% chance it will land on black, then the share will cost 55 cents and pay out $1 if you're right. This system means that you can either just bet on the outcome or wait for the result by buying shares of one of the outcomes. Or you can buy and sell shares before the outcome even happens, either making a profit or a loss based on how the consensus has changed. It all means that no third party is taking a cut, but other problems come up instead, as we'll find out. If you're going to believe the founder Shane Copeland's social media posts, Polymarket began in a bathroom on a laptop sitting on top of a laundry basket, but it wouldn't stay that way for long. Launched in 2020, the site was functional months before the election in November. By offering a way to bet on the outcome, it picked up steam, and by around October, Polymarket had already attracted $4 million from crypto and venture capitalist investors. After the election died down though, the site fell into stagnation for years. Then in 2022, the CFTC banned them from letting American citizens use the platform and fined the site $1.4 million. But strangely, this didn't seem to make much of a difference at all. Whether the ban actually worked is up in the air, and it's hard to tell whether Polymarket's compliance extended beyond lip service. But it wasn't until the 2024 election cycle that Polymarket's growth picked up again. This time though, it was going to get a whole lot more popular than anyone expected. As reported by Fortune, the trading volume on Polymarket stayed at around $40 to $60 million for the first 5 months of 2024. Then in June, it almost doubled to $110 million. The site was picking up speed, and a month later, this tripled again, climbing past $500 million by September. Finally, with the election around the corner, it rose by another 500% to $2.5 billion. Since then, trading volumes have dropped, but not nearly to the levels they were at before the election. The business model and the site itself seem to at least have some staying power, and recent news might be an indication that some people are very worried about its growth. While the media and opinion polls had Trump and Kamala in a dead heat, the consensus on Polymarket was much more in Trump's favor. In the market for who would win on the 1st of November, a few days before the election, Trump was sitting at nearly 63%, with Harris on just under 37%. When Trump won, Polymarket also declared victory.
I know you guys got a lot of flack for that, and I just appreciate you guys standing up for it. And hopefully you guys feel the same sense of victory that we do.
Now, you could give a lot of reasons as to why. A Trump administration could be more likely to let them operate without much regulation, and it might let them have US-based users again. And during the election, people were slandering Polymarket as being outrageously right-wing, all due to their predictions that Trump would actually win the election, unlike mainstream polling that suggested the race was close. Their user base's bias to being pro-Trump was also proven correct as well, adding weight to their claims of representing the true voice of the people. But just a few days later though, the FBI suddenly raided Polymarket's offices in New York, confiscating Copeland's phone and laptop. While other similar exchanges have been allowed to operate and let users place bets on US politics, Polymarket had not gotten the go-ahead. Meanwhile, it's almost certain that lots of US citizens have been using the platform, bypassing the region lock with VPN. Whether it's Polymarket's responsibility to investigate and stop this though is a legal question. So while they were obviously breaking their deal, they also have tons of plausible deniability that could possibly see them through a lawsuit if nothing else comes up. But of course, Polymarket were quick to claim that it was all a case of political punishment by the outgoing Democrats. The main objection that Podimarket's detractors have raised is based on the fact that it's unregulated. They say it opens the doors to insider trading, market manipulation, and other predatory practices. Just a few days before the election, Fortune.com published a piece accusing Polymarket of being a full-of-wash trading, a scam where users buy and sell lots of the same shares over and over again to make it look like a hot commodity. The crypto firms that came up with this analysis state up to a third of the activity surrounding the presidential market, the largest on the site, was wash trading. Other smaller markets on the site are even more vulnerable to manipulation. Their low trading volumes make it far easier for people to artificially move the markets with relatively small amounts of money. It seems like these kinds of things are almost expected in unregulated online financial markets. But perhaps the biggest reason behind the US's new crackdown on Polymarket could be that it's something they don't control or make a profit from. With no third party taking a cut or managing the odds, Polymarket gives people a crystal clear view of what the consensus is on certain events. It offers a perspective of the world that they can't control and is therefore dangerous. Governments also rarely have a problem with gambling if they're the ones profiting from it. The lottery, which is often a massive slice of a country's entire gambling industry, is insanely profitable for them. It's like printing money, but without the inflation because they're taking it out of people's pockets. If Polymarket's model of peer-to-peer gambling takes off for other things, it could severely dent both of these profits and the ones they tax from regular casinos and bookmakers. It's not something they want to happen. While it might be unlikely, with so much money on the line, why would they risk anything? At the end of the day, Polymarket isn't the problem, and gambling itself in moderation isn't a terrible thing. The issue is that Polymarket is just a symptom of a culture that's let gambling go way too far, and the media's only concerned because it's a tiny part of the industry that the establishment isn't taking a cut from. All the other rigged forms of gambling, where you're pretty much guaranteed to lose money, are absolutely fine in their eyes, and regulation has been almost willingly useless. In 2021, the UK government took measures like adding a minimum time between spins of 2.5 seconds. It's a hard rule that's definitely going to slow down the problem and prevent even more people from falling into addiction. That is, unless people figure out that they can just open up two separate websites. Plus, it really doesn't take that much time to sink an entire paycheck into online slots, even with those minor restrictions. Meanwhile, you've got streamers on Kick streaming slots to tens of thousands of people, and you can pretty safely assume that a large part of the audience are children. The big streamers often aren't using their own money. Gambling sites give them massive wallets to burn live on stream, just to draw in potential users. They have big floats, and most of the slot games work by buying a certain amount of spins and then winning money back. So each time these guys play, there's all these flashy graphics of massive wins showing up on screen. And while this isn't really lying, it's definitely meant to be as misleading as possible, as it creates the connection between win massive amounts of money and the slot website they're using. Even as you see the laws of probability work themselves out and the balances slowly go down, it doesn't matter. You can tell how integral these social media sites are for gambling companies' marketing plan. Otherwise, they wouldn't be funding an entire streaming platform just for this. But one of the worst things about all of this is that addicts can never really escape an easy way to indulge their addiction. Unless you entirely stop using a smartphone, it's always going to be there right in your pocket, or even on Times Square. It's like a smoker trying to quit smoking while keeping a pack of cigarettes in their pocket. And that's not to say there shouldn't ever be gambling adverts, not at all, but it's the way it's been adopted by everyone, by everything, where every single event in society is made to just be another part of gambling, which could be especially dangerous for those constantly losing when their entire addiction is centered around the dopamine rush that comes with a winning bet. And when you run out of money to keep it going, it's like being dropped in the icy water of reality. It all comes rushing on and you realize just how much money you lost and what the real life consequences are going to be. Which is one of the things that makes the mainstream promotion of this so uniquely gripping, is that everybody's trying to avoid this feeling, especially in a society where people are becoming poorer and poorer, uneven to even safely survive, constantly being shown this option of winning, where you can gamble on everything, which movies hit in the box office, which president gets elected, hoodwinking millions and millions of people trying to avoid the reality of losing, trying to avoid the reality of their own situation in life. And while in moderation it can be fun and fine, the problem comes when every single thing is monetized in this way. When you're a kid, it's loot boxes, and as you grow up, this sort of thing just becomes normal. But it is important to remember though that there is always still hope for recovery. We're built to deal with adversity and keep going through tough conditions and not resist temptation. But with how much this stuff is pushed into people's faces, it's almost a sign of a society that's completely financially unstable, where materialism and money is promoted against everything else. Lots of addicts look back on their first bet and know that if they had lost instead of won, that whole habit would have never been formed and they would have escaped. Ironically, the dangers of gambling are always created by being lucky in the beginning. People who've revealed it to their families and their friends are often surprised surprised at how willing they are to help, but the absolute worst move is to keep it to yourself and bear the burden of being alone. It isn't a problem that people should be ashamed about, especially when it's promoted in almost everything, even just subtly without you ever realizing. But as we've seen, it's so ingrained into our culture today that children are already getting addicted before they have a bank account, and Polymarket and its competitors are therefore just the tip of a giant iceberg in a culture addicted to gambling. Regulating it is probably a good idea, but it's a comparatively tiny problem compared to the awful state of modern gambling itself, and the root cause of why people are turning to this so much more than they have in the past. When money, materialism, and economic insecurity is a mounting problem in society, then it's no surprise that this stuff is so legitimized in almost every facet of society. But tackling that problem rocks the boat for everyone. It would dent the tax revenue and the lobbyist money that comes streaming out of the gambling industry.